Syrians who have been living there for six, seven, we're in the eighth year now, and the relentless airstrikes and all of the other difficulties that they have faced in what is one of the bloodiest conflicts to date. I mean, at least conservatively, we're talking about 500,000 dead. Half of the country of 23 million people has been displaced, either internally or externally. These numbers are massive, and every number is a person who is part of a family, who is part of a community. And that is the tragedy of Syria.
Rania Abu Zeid, I want to thank you for being with us. Award-winning journalist, author, author of the new book, No Turning Back, Life, Loss, and Hope in Wartime Syria. And that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Has a job opening for a full-time broadcast engineer here in New York City. Find out more at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Massoud, Sharina Nadura, Libby Rainey. I'm Amy Goodman.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street. Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
WHFR's annual record sale is Saturday, October 27th, and vendor tables are going fast. If you are a vendor and wish to participate, email us at whfr@hfcc.edu or give us a call at 313-317-6579 to reserve your spot now. WHFR's record show is a yearly event held right here in the Student Center of Henry Ford College, and one of those vendors could be you. Call now to reserve your spot for Saturday, October 27th.
Hey everyone, this is Jonathan, and I host a show featuring the modern singer-songwriter. Tune in to Songwriter Symposium every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. to hear music from independent artists who write and perform their own songs. Sometimes the songs I play are just simple songs about relationships, and other times they are dark and haunting stories with lyrics that play out like a movie script. I feature artists from around the country and Canada, as well as many talented songwriters from right here in the Detroit area. So listen every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. to Songwriter Symposium to hear the latest music from today's singer-songwriters.
I'm just floating like a leaf on the stream.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio featuring local and independent artists.
Welcome back. This is the new WHFR Journal, our first official edition post-wonderful summer 2018, and we welcome you. Thank you for tuning in this fine Friday. We're very happy to have you here and looking forward to tackling some very exciting issues, as well as hopefully educating you on some of the changes, the updates, the upgrades that have gone on over these past few months here in our own Dearborn community and our campus community as well. Welcome. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek. Welcome back, Alan.
Hello. It's been a few weeks, hasn't it?
Sure it has. It sure has. We're excited to jump into a very active show today. So let's mention there are some things going on campus, and we're going to spend more time, as we always do, on promoting the events and things that are open to our general public. One of them, I think, very important, particularly for first-time students here on our campus, our Evergreen Road campus in particular, is the Welcome Back Days, or the Welcome Days, if you're a first-timer.
Even before I, you know, started teaching here at HFC and, you know, teaching at a college level, there was something about the beginning of September that, you know, everyone thinks the new year begins at, you know, January 1st. To me, it just felt like when you get to the beginning of a September, that that was kind of like the new year. Everything began again. And whether that was from being a student, going back to school, you know, when I was younger and, you know, working at colleges and universities where you were sort of in the same cycle, it's just always a wonderful time of year.
It is. And our college does a fantastic job of orienting our new students on campus, as well as those that are returning that were maybe a little too busy to jump in full force with some of the things that they might like to consider. The welcome days, and we'll talk more about it again a little bit later, but definitely something to think about if you're thinking of maybe applying to Henry Ford College in the winter semester. So you're welcome to come on board and take a look and check out the different clubs, the organizations, the social activities, as well as a lot of the resources available, whether it comes from the counseling department or things with registration, financial aid, and so on. They do a wonderful three-day event here in our campus, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
It is, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Not next week, but I guess, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the following week.
That's right.
If I might be off a day or two, but yeah, I believe so.
I think you've got it just right.
All right.
Well, we have an action-packed show today. We look forward to welcoming back, of course, our own sports aficionado and also a writer for our local Mirror newspaper here on campus, Josh Hebert, I'm sure.
Maybe that football season. Maybe that's why I thought that the new year begins at September, but I could be wrong. Anyway,
one of those, huh?
We've got another guest who has never been in our studios before. How about that?
And we look forward to welcoming him in just a moment. In fact, it is the president of Henry Ford College, and we'll be hearing from him in just a moment. Stay with us.
Attention licensed practical nurses. Are you looking for a convenient way to earn your RN degree? Do you need the flexibility of a program who recognizes you for your previous hard work as an LPN? Here's great news. Henry Ford College has exactly what you're looking for with their Advancement LPN to RN Bridge program. You can advance your career and become a licensed registered nurse. Want more info? Give us a call at our School of Health and Human Services at 313-845-9877. That's 313-845-9877.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Thanks for staying with us here on 89.3 on your FM radio dial, or maybe you're listening to us on the internet at whfr.fm. Either way, glad you're still here with us, and we have just an action-packed show. Let's jump right into it. We're very excited to have in studio with us today the new president of Henry Ford College, Russell Cavalluna, and we are just thrilled to learn more and more about this very interesting and very accomplished man as we interact with him on different components, different levels here at the college. So welcome, first and foremost, to our studios. Your first time here, President Cavalluna, we are very excited to have you, and may we call you Russ?
Yeah, you absolutely should, Susan.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, pleasure. So counting down the days, roughly the months, I guess, since you took over here and since you've been our president at Henry Ford College, we've got, what, Three months or so?
9 weeks, but
okay.
Who's counting?
Exactly. So what's it been like? Just general attitude, general feeling so far?
It has been exhilarating and exciting, interesting, and I'm thrilled with what are the prospects for the coming months, and then, frankly, for the coming years. The people in this community, and I call our college a community because I believe that's what a good community college should act like. The people in this community have been overwhelmingly welcoming, vigorous in their discussions with me about what they care about in this institution, and frankly excited, as I think Alan may have mentioned on the top, that September is an exciting time for college campuses. And if you're going to start a presidency, I would recommend doing it in September and the late summer, because that is when the students are here, the staff is here, the faculty is here, and everyone is excited for what the year holds.
Yeah,
Oh, and I do remember, I mean, just going back a week, one of my classes, a 100-level class, just sort of asking, who's here for the very first time on a college campus? And seeing the, you know, the couple of, you know, people who slowly raised their hand. Just the whole idea of welcome to college. Welcome to Henry Ford College in particular. It's an important thing. It's a big thing in people's lives when they're here in a college environment. So,
I know that we have been in the presidential search mode for a while, and fortunately are completely out of that now, thank goodness. We talked about bios of the candidates and so on, you know, as we do on this particular show, talking about the local politics as well as you know, bigger picture politics as they affect our campus community and our Dearborn community. But I'd like to think that most of our regular listeners heard the stats and the numbers, and you worked with this and you did that, and then ultimately we put all those together with all the different candidates, and then you came out as being the best fit, the best match, and that's very exciting, of course, first of all. But in your opinion, in your mind, and maybe in your own words, why do you think the selection to pick you was the right fit? Clearly it was. Clearly we're all pretty excited about it. But what is it about you that sort of makes you feel like this is the right place to be?
Well, I certainly have to acknowledge my answer to this is probably biased.
You think?
And I'm utterly pleased with the conclusion of the presidential search. But seriously, I told the interview process, and I say process, it was extensive. And I think that the way the college undertook it was laudable because it was both public and extensive. Now, going through it, it made you earn the job, which is appropriate. But there were 35 people on that search committee that represented the community, the stakeholders in the college, and they spent an entire weekend listening to higher education leaders talking about themselves for 2-hour clips. And I'll tell you what I told them, and this is as best as I can gauge to answer your question, Susan, and that is why I wanted this job and why I proposed myself as a good fit. And it was because I believe that Henry Ford College, being 80 years old, has absolutely everything it needs to be a great success. Except that I think it's ready for someone to be a better spokesman and person who shines a light on what we have as greatness here. Too many times community colleges work really hard and deliver fantastic results in a small environment, usually a community, but they don't go around and explain how much value they deliver to the community and the region. And in order for a president to do that, that president has to be comfortable allowing the people at the college to do what they know best, and then leading by vision, not managing. And I drew a difference mm-hmm. In what I thought I could bring to the institution as the difference between a leader and a manager. And I really do believe that Henry Ford College was ready for a leader. And a leader is someone who encourages and builds teams, sets very lofty goals, and lets talented people go and reach for them and gives them the resources to do that. And it's not easy, I'll tell you, and it's not right for every institution. Some institutions and some human endeavors really do need management. I don't think Henry Ford College needs that, and I explained that I think that the human resources here are so well primed for success that what really could be used is someone who could champion those human resources, the staff, the faculty, and frankly the students, and allow us to grow into what we really deserve, which is to be a regional shining star for the kind of education that we deliver, and that is a gateway education to a place that is a community college.
Well, I see why you got the job, too, of course, but well put, very well put. As it relates to the idea of dealing with the stakeholders, the if you will, and you mentioned, I think you even just said, sort of most importantly, the students, of course, first and foremost, that's who we serve. It's probably in some ways never been a more exciting time to be a college president, but in other ways, perhaps maybe never been a more challenging time to be a college president based on all the different issues that we're facing, both politically, economically, as well as socially, when it comes to the students that are in this age range, in the traditional sense, coming in to try to better themselves and become an educated professional in some capacity. So you must have, to some extent, a series of maybe plans or kind of charting some stuff out a little bit, because you can't do it all in one day and you can't do it all at the same time. So where do you begin? What are you thinking?
Well, the first thing I did was set out a plan to meet with as many of the stakeholders as I could in something I'm calling the listening tour. And if you do look on our website, you'll see some articles associated with the listening tour that I've done. And I specifically went to stakeholders and asked them, not only would you come and let me listen to you, but more importantly, who else do you think I should listen to beyond yourself? So I focused that on two realms. One would be stakeholders within our institution, and of course that would include faculty, staff, students, and then even some of the community users who are associated with our college. And then the broader community that has some interface or some synergy with our college, and that would span community leaders, political leaders, industrial leaders, religious and faith-based leaders, and nonprofit leaders. And I just went about inviting myself to talk and listen to any of those groups who would be willing to do that. And I'm in my ninth week of that. That's why I know it's been nine weeks, because the calendar's been pretty packed. And what I've found is that people want an opportunity to access the new leader and feel as though their concerns, whether positive or negative, are being heard. And the benefit of me being able to do that is I learn an immense amount about this institution. Frankly, I get more and more excited and optimistic about it as I hear more and more. But a good leader, in my belief, is someone who has excellent listening skills. And I don't think you can be a great leader for an institution like this until you truly spend at least 10 weeks, and maybe more, going around and asking, what's working with the institution? What are you proud about? What could be improved about this institution? And lastly, what is so desperately broken it needs to be fixed immediately? In other words, where are the fires that need to be put out? And that's frankly what I've been asking. And then I've sat down and picked up my pen or my computer and taken notes, because I do believe that learning about the institution from its core stakeholders are the main goals. And I have been asked what you've asked me, Susan, is where are we going? What things can you tell us about? I've got some thoughts, but they certainly are not ready, for me even to let pop out of my head, much less set forth for this institution, because I simply have to do my due diligence to ask, what does the community think this institution needs? What does the community see as its strengths, as its weaknesses? And there'll be time for big, bold plans, but right now it's an opportunity for me to learn what the people who've been here for the many years.
Well, we'll leave the fires for the firefighters, obviously, but what are some of the things that you've learned that you see that people are proud about in this institution, and what it has to offer to the community?
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that I'm most proud about is the cohesive message that comes in answer to that question, Alan, both from people who are working at or attending this institution and the people who just live around the outside of it. Literally live around the outside of it. And what they're most proud of is that this is a place that gives access to a community to higher education as a means for societal growth. That is something that people who live around here, pay the taxes in this Dearborn area, and people even from outside of Dearborn who come here see this institution as a gem for that real, and that transcends politics, that transcends race, that transcends socioeconomic status. People really do value a good public education, and this institution represents that. Now, the great reality that I've encountered is that that's what the people on the inside of the institution are saying also. And when you find a group of people who are passionate about something like that, like public service through education, as a leader, what you see is a fantastic opportunity for institutional greatness. Because in any human endeavor, in my opinion, you're going to find that the difficult thing is coalescing around a single mission. And in for-profit, in government, it's hard to get that single message, that single principle. Well, it just so happens that in well-run higher education institutions, the entire community believes that the mission is societal growth through education. And I've seen it in droves that that's what is common with almost everyone who's talked to me about this institution. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean that people think everything's great and rosy. That actually engenders a lot of vigorous debate and disagreement. But people don't come to Henry Ford College to work to get rich. People don't come to Henry Ford College to become famous. People don't do those things. They're here because of the true devotion to higher education as a means to give public service. And when that is what I keep hearing, I'm convinced that the people in this institution have the opportunity for greatness. And I just hope to be able to help in some way. 80 years we've been around. I hope to be just a small part in that 80-year history.
Well, in some sense, if there is disagreement and debate, it means that you've got a constituency that is actually vested in, you know, where it's going, whether you agree with them or whether they agree with you or not. They have the best interests of the organization or, you know, the facility at heart, right?
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you brought that up, Alan, because one of the things that I've been hearing is that this community, Dearborn, Wayne County, inside of our institution, the stakeholders want to have a feeling that their leadership is accessible and will listen to the concerns that they have. They don't necessarily expect me and my colleagues in administration to agree with everything, but what they've continually said is we want to feel like we are respected enough to have access to you and give you feedback. And I want anyone who's listening to this broadcast and cares about Henry Ford College, and frankly, those who may not care so much about Henry Ford College, if you have an opinion about this institution, I'm willing to listen to it. And the last 9 weeks should prove that. And if you haven't had an opportunity to come see me, if you walk on our campus, there's a decent chance you'll see me. I jog most afternoons and I stop and talk to people. I walk around campuses, this campus, and I stop and talk to people. I want to hear what you have to say. And I do believe that that's a mark of a well-run institution, is a leader who feels or who makes people feel like that he or she is accessible.
Yeah. We are joined in studio at this time with President Russell Cavalhuna, Henry Ford College's newer president, and pretty soon we won't keep saying new president. You know, we'll give you 12 weeks.
He's
the one. He's the guy. And you know, it sounds, Russ, like the kind of things you're talking about certainly are. You know, it's that it's sort of brilliant, in fact, that you're doing the job of listening to get the best information that you can do the better job in the outcome. But in the process of doing that, you're really, I think, setting the tone for and I can feel like I'm safe to say this, really physically, literally, metaphorically, in every way, changing a culture. I mean, we have been under a certain culture for a little while now. So in the process of your fact-finding and you know, really wanting to get those heart-to-hearts with so many of our constituents, just by nature of wanting to do that is creating a new fresh breeze of a culture that I think is has been very much needed, and we're so very excited to have. So I'm sensing that you're probably getting some giddy, giggly kind of, oh my gosh, really? He wants to listen to us? And so don't, you know, take that for what it is. It's genuine. It really is. We're not sucking up. But at the same time, there's all the, you know, the listening and the connectedness. And at some point, I think the feeling of we really are all in this together is going to kind of kick in all the way around. And I think that's something that is has been much needed, and it's going to be when it happens. And it's we're all feeling it. I'm telling you, it's just going to be amazing.
Well, I've bet my career on that. I moved my family across the state. And I'm in love with Dearborn and what it has to offer. But I am The phrase you just mentioned, Susan, was something I said to the college at the State of the College, and I said, "We're in this together." If there is a past in Henry Ford College where there were fiefdoms or silos, let's move forward. Let's move past that. Let's really focus on what we have in common, which is the most powerful driving force for everyone here. And let's use that as a method to come to the things that we share and are proud of, and also the things that we're not agreeing on, and have a civil, vigorous debate about those things, because that's the only way we're going to progress. And, you know, you mentioned I was new, and I do feel new. But, you know, it's not so much about me as the opportunity for the college to try a new mindset. Yeah. And I'm asking people to try that on. And I'm hopeful it'll take.
Well, you mentioned the concept of fiefdoms, silos, things like that. Obviously, you must have something in mind. I mean, where are those? And how do we get beyond them?
Well, you know, I've heard in my listening tour, I've heard those terms, and they are emanating from a place where people felt like we weren't as a cohesive campus as we should be. But I have to be candid with you. Once we start going down that road, I gently suggest, you know, I recognize that that's a difficult past and it's a difficult thing for you. And I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong or right. I am here to say that we can move forward in a different way. And to the extent that those exist now, I'm inviting everyone to come to me and tell me that. And it's interesting. I've had group meetings. I've had one-on-one meetings. I've had sidewalk chats. No one so far has said, look, this is a silo that exists right now. We need to deal with it. But if they do exist now, we'll deal with them. But part of the culture shift I'm asking for is a recognition of our past, but a focus on the future, and a focus on the future with us working together collectively. And as much as this sounds difficult to do, and as much as I know it's not easy, I'm asking people to try and grab what they've got that is in the past that they're unhappy with, find a way to deal with it and move forward without it.
Yeah. I think you'll be surprised how easy that's going to be for most of us to do.
Well, Susan,
no
from
kidding.
Your mouth to God's ears.
I'm not kidding. When we talk about our future and the opportunities that are in place now that we can act on and those that will be coming forward, we know that we don't survive without the support of all of those different stakeholders that you talked about. But you bring an interesting past, a recent past, and in some cases a current, you know, experience, and that is your legal abilities, your legal connections and all of that. And I understand also, based on some things I've heard you say, a willingness to fight and to just get out there in front of other people, whether it's the state government or bigger, and just kind of tell it like it is. So how do you do that? I mean, where does that come from, and why these interesting connected types of careers that brought you to where you are today?
Well, I'll answer the last question first. You know, like most people in higher education, I'm driven by service and a belief that education truly is a way to give back to your community and make a difference. And I think that's what most people, inside of education or not, most people yearn for the opportunity to look back at their life's work and think they made a difference. And education, in my mind, is the top of the heap. But I also, I really believe that public service and leadership are a passion for me. You know, I'm on a journey getting better at both of those things, but I like to be able to make my public service through leadership. So the intersection of my passion for leadership and public service kind of hit its apex when I started involving myself in public education. So that's the reason why I sought out this position, and I'm so thankful that the community endorsed me for it, and I'm humbled and honored to take it on. And I do believe in a collective and inclusive form of leadership, but that doesn't mean that I shirk away from a position when I believe it's right. and that I think the institution for which I represent deserves an advocate. Those lines get blurred too much in our discussions today, in my opinion. You know, ask yourself when you hear someone making an argument as you go forward, are they attacking a person or are they attacking a problem? I would suggest to you that you want to lean towards and get behind someone who attacks problems, not people. Ask yourself when you hear someone talking, are you talking to someone or about someone? I would suggest to you, and the great leaders that I've had the honor to follow, would always talk with people. They wouldn't talk about other people. But when there's a problem, and I'm ready to address it, you're not going to find anyone who's more vigorous than me. You know, two jobs ago, I was tasked with asking juries of comprised of my peers to convict people for crimes. That was a really important job to do well. I mean, there was no higher calling than making sure that justice was done for everyone.
And for our listeners, what was that particular position? Just because they don't have, you know, your biography in front of them. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. I'm glad you asked, Alan. I was an assistant United States attorney in the United States Department of Justice, which is a lot of syllables and words that basically mean a federal prosecutor. My jurisdiction was from the western part of Michigan, so from Lansing west and then the Upper Peninsula. And I prosecuted all manner of crimes, some that probably just aren't even really that ripe for this type of program, because they involve violence and difficult things towards other people. But that honed the ability to gather as much information as I could, deliver it in a persuasive manner, and in a forceful manner, but without being offensive and without being attacking of any person or place. And I like that. I think higher education leaders should get better at that, because we don't do that well enough to the places that need to hear it, like policymakers, like funders, like constituencies that sometimes cast doubt on what we're doing. So I've already started doing it, Susan. I have gone out and told people how great we are, and I've done it with vigor and passion because I believe it. And that's something that I like to do.
We are having a very interesting discussion with HFC President Russell Cavalluna. And in the process of hearing you speak, Russ, it's hard to, and we're sitting in a room together physically, so we're seeing, you know, nonverbal language as well, but it's hard not to just kind of get excited. It's hard not to just kind of jump up and say, yeah, this is how I feel too. He's so incredibly well-spoken, and he's a man on a mission and all that kind of stuff. So clearly there's something going on there, and not every leader has that. Not every good leader has that, but most great leaders have the potential to really sort of rally the troops in such an inspirational way. So were you born with that? Is that a family trait, or is this something that over experience and time, relationships as well as education, you're kind of continuing to hone?
Well, I'll take some exception to the premise of your question. I'm far from a great leader. It's very kind, Susan, and I really do appreciate your optimism towards me.
That aspire to be a great leader is where I was going, of course. It's only 9 weeks or what, 10 weeks? Yeah. I'm kidding.
You know, someone recently asked me if they think great leaders are born or made, and I think it's probably a little bit of both, but I think mostly they're made. The one thing that's born in a leader, or very quickly, in my opinion. And by the way, I don't have any scientific background of this. This is just my opinion, and it's based on my anecdotal evidence of watching people who I think were great leaders. And frankly, that's who I try to emulate. But I think great leaders are born with an innate confidence, and an innate ability to interact with people successfully. And then that may be 10 or 15% of it. And then, for, at least in my life, anything that I've been able to do successfully in leadership has come from emulating the great leaders that I've been able to follow. And I've had probably a handful of those. And what I've experienced in watching them is not that they were so great at doing anything, or not that they were, you know, some task or some skill, not that they were so well-spoken or things like this. What they actually had a skill at doing was noticing talented people around them and lifting them up. And I call that the difference between a leader and a manager. Mm-hmm. A manager actually does things, is actually kind of out there showing other people what and how to do it. The leader actually can survey the field and see the talented people and give them the support emotionally and physically to do great things. And then, of course, I think the best leaders I've seen have been able to reflect any kind of adulation toward them to those people that they're lifting up. So I would say to you, if I'm ever going to be a great leader from here, it's going to be because of the people here at HFC, which is why I'm here. Because I walked around this campus before I had the job, and while I was interviewing for it, kind of surveying, do these people really have the ethos and the brains to be excellent? And I think they did, and they do. And so now those are the people that I brag upon. And I think that great leaders show that to other people. I mean, I walk around and talk about in my state of the college, I talked about Michael Nealon, who was applying for my job. And I tell you how great he is, intelligent, optimistic. I talk about John McDonald, who's the head of the faculty union. And I say he's been giving service to this institution since 1976, I believe. I say that's a great, great testament to this college. Kirk is the guy who cleans my office, and I see him at night, and I talk about him doing that job with duty and integrity, and how he's trying to give his son an opportunity to go to a parochial school. These are the kind of things that I've seen great leaders do, If I inspire one or two other people to do that around the campus, that's what I think great leaders have. But no, there's no great leadership class unless you have a great mentor, and I've had about three.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you for your candid answer on that. We've learned so much, and we are so excited to continue to see the ebbs and the flows and the developments and so on. But so far, we very much are excited about what we've been hearing and what really is a tone on this campus that is both refreshing and exciting and invigorating, I think, all at the same time. So keep doing what you're doing. We're going to try to keep doing what we're doing, and we're, you know, I think we're all in this together, as you did mention. We feel it as well. So in terms of maybe, you know, because we have to do this, one thing that we don't know about Russell, about Russ, one thing that you haven't told anybody yet on this campus that we'll probably find out eventually, but just give us a little nugget, a little something.
Huh.
What's on your iPod playlist? No, we don't have to go there, but if you've got something else, then...
you know, I was convinced I was convinced that I was going to be a professional athlete until reality hit towards the end of my high school career.
What sport did you play?
I played basketball. Mm-hmm. That was my true love. I was better at track. And
shooting,
I also,
guard maybe?
Yeah, I was a shooting guard. who couldn't shoot very well. But I was a lot skinnier then and a little quicker, so I made up for it. And I played soccer and track. I still like athletics because I still do really enjoy the team atmosphere of human endeavor. I really do enjoy that. And I've always found that almost everything in my life that I enjoy doing, I enjoy exponentially more if I do it with another person. So I know what you were asking, and that's a little factoid nugget that's usually a little bit more fun than that. That sounds kind of like a prepackaged answer. But the truth is, you may wonder, why is he so into all this team talk? And it's because my life has been filtered with, like most people's lives, highs and lows. And those highs have been through team achievement.
Yeah, well, good answer. We'll take it. Thank you. We look forward to learning more. We look forward to serving collectively to this wonderful institution that we all do feel so proud to be connected to. And we'll check back in again in a few months or so and kind of see how things are going. I have my suspicions, and I think they're going to be going well. This is the 80th anniversary of our college, in fact. So lots of celebrating, lots of excitement moving forward. So we're excited that you're here at this time. And you know, things happen for reasons. So just again, very excited on behalf of our campus radio station community and our listeners. We do want to welcome you to Henry Ford College officially.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. And I'm, you know, one of the things I brag about is this fantastic radio station that sits on our campus with some of the most talented broadcast journalists turned instructors on the planet who sit here before me. So, and then now they're doing
that. Don't look at me.
They're doing not now they're smiling. But thank you guys for producing a public service. I don't know if everyone knows, but this institution that you run, Susan, here, this radio station, is not just for the college. It's actually a public service entity. And, you know, that's one of the things I'll be bragging about. So keep it up. And if you need me to come back here and talk about anything again, I'm happy to do it. Alan, I appreciate you being here. You think you've got the best voice on the campus. and keep up the good work, guys.
All right. Thank you so much for
your
time.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys.
Yeah. Pleasure. We've got more things on the way. Stay with us. The show is not over yet, even though we feel incredibly, I think, fulfilled with learning more and more about what's happening on this wonderful campus. Stay with us. Be back in 2 minutes.
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford College. Henry Ford College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. So change the world, change yourself at Henry Ford College. For more information on admittance and financial aid and class schedules, call the Henry Ford College toll-free number at 1-800-585-HFCC. Again, that's 1-800-585-HFCC.
Music has evolved a great deal in the past 300 years. And that's only because of artists who were able to express themselves in ways that the common practice couldn't. Music is art, and great art should seek to change the world. No one knows when the next wave will break, but when it does, you can rest assured you'll hear it on the Space is a Place program every Friday evening from 6 until 8 p.m. with me, your host, Tom Wilson, right here on your favorite radio station, 89.3, WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves.
Hey America, we are your pets, and this song's dedicated to those people who don't have health insurance yet.
In Roe, we say, we want you to be okay. In Roe, we say, take care, people, for goodness sake.
There's a plan for every budget, so don't accept defeat. Now you can get covered and still
buy me treats.
Enroll!
So listen to me, a talking pug, you see. If you get health insurance, preventive care is now free.
So sweet.
You take care of your pets. Now it's their turn to take care of you. Visit GetCoveredAmerica.org to learn about your health insurance options. That's GetCoveredAmerica.org.
And take care, people!
Brought to you by Get Covered America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. It is the new WHFR Journal here on 89.3. Also online, of course, at WHFR.fm. So grateful to have you with us. And what a nice conversation that we had with the new president of Henry Ford College, Russell Cavahuna. It was very nice to talk to him. And seriously and sincerely, nice to be back with you here on Friday afternoons here on the new WHFR Journal. I know it's been a few weeks. Hopefully you've had a great summer, and welcome back to the new school year as it comes about. And we talked about that a little bit during our interview, is that, yes, technically the year changes at December 31st to January 1st, but for some reason in our hearts it feels like when you get back to September, it's kind of like life. It's kind of like a changing of the seasons. A life cycle begins again. Maybe it's because, obviously, as we were growing up, that's when we all started school for a new school year, and you felt like you were a year older. You were no longer a fifth grader. Now you were a sixth grader, et cetera, et cetera. So speaking of changing of the seasons, we're going to talk about some new seasons going on athletically in the area with our own WHFR Journal sports reporter Josh Hebert. Very nice to see you again. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back for another great season of sports talking here, Alan.
Indeed. So let's see. What kind of sports do they play in the fall, by the way?
In the fall, I mean, you have a little bit of soccer, which I hear your son did pretty good with over the weekend.
He's off to a good start. First year in college, he is attending the University of Detroit Mercy and playing with their soccer team, and he's been on a great ride. The last month, from coming in as a freshman to being a part of the team, and it's really been pretty, special for him. And certainly as a dad, it's been great to watch. So
yeah, you have soccer, like I just mentioned. You have volleyball starting up. You have men's tennis in swing. You also have a little bit of fall baseball going on.
No, really? They still play baseball?
I'm
just, when we talk about our Detroit Tigers, we don't really...
Let's throw those guys to the side right now.
What kind of fall baseball is going on?
Well, Henry Ford is actually getting ready to start a season here. I want to say it's either this weekend or next weekend, under the direction of a new head coach, by the way.
Interesting. Who is the new head coach?
The new head coach is Mike Abney, who was taking over for Tim Layton, who resigned on August 1st.
Oh, okay.
As head coach here at Henry Ford.
So a new direction for the baseball program, and I would assume probably a good thing that a new coach gets to have the opportunity to see some of his players out on the field, some of whom, most of whom, we assume will be with the team when like the next baseball season starts, which is in the spring, right?
Yeah. I mean, Coach Abney has been here for a while, though. He was here when baseball got brought back to Henry Ford in 2010 as an assistant.
Okay.
And has been here throughout. So, I mean, there's a little bit of a connection with the new head coach and the players who are here currently.
So a great opportunity for him. So.
And then, of course, like always, football season in high school started 2 weeks ago. College started last weekend. NFL started last night.
But of course, HFC does not have a immense football team, but certainly we have a lot of students here on campus who have come through various football programs in and around the area. So what's going on in the high school football landscape in WHFR world?
You have Edsel Ford jumping over to the Downriver League, replacing Taylor Kennedy, who did combine with Taylor Truman at the end of last year, to make the new Taylor High School, who is black and gold.
The Griffins.
The Griffins of Taylor High School.
Gryffindor, right? Yeah.
10 points to Gryffindor, by the way.
Exactly. So Edsel Ford, of course, has been in the area league, and just this turned out to be a good opportunity for them, or what do you know about
this turned out to be a good opportunity for them. They were getting a little bit bigger for their league, which they're in. I mean, phenomenal schools in that league. I mean, Belleville's there. You had Dearborn, Fordson, a whole bunch of schools in this area. But, I mean, they felt like they could make a bigger splash coming to the Downriver League and try to compete for a league title.
So this is their first season there, where they're going to come up against some schools from a number of school districts that are very close to WHFR, such as
Allen Park,
Melvindale, Lincoln Park as well. So
The one good thing is they did make a splash in that first week winning their first Downriver League game.
And that was that against Melvindale?
No, that was actually against Lincoln Park, where they won 43-6.
Okay.
So, I mean, Lincoln Park is Lincoln Park at the bottom of the barrel. No offense to anybody who's a Lincoln Park grad or a fan. But then again, coming with football season also means it's time for picks there, Alan.
Okay. So what do we, let's see, as we sit here on Friday afternoon, who's playing who tonight?
We have Alan Puck playing host to Melvindale.
Okay.
In that one, crosstown rivalry game, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Close proximity. I have Alan Puck in that one. Etzel Ford is making the long trek down to Gibraltar Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
Carlson, I just
think... That's going to be an interesting one. That
will be two different styles of play going against each other. I was able to go out and see Etzel Ford play last week against Alan Puck.
Mm-hmm.
Etzel Ford has some things that make him look like a really good football team, but I sadly think for any Etzel Ford people around here that Carlson will come out on top. Lincoln Puck plays rival Wyandotte.
Mm-hmm.
And in that one, Wyandotte has had their number, and I think that will continue. Southgate plays Trenton. I think Trenton wins that one after beating Alan Puck week one. And then against Carlson last weekend, I think Trenton comes out on top. And then Taylor plays Woodhaven. Woodhaven has that one.
That seemed like a very, very solid team for this year. So even with some quarterback issues,
Woodhaven,
they managed to make it through the Wyandotte game the week before.
Woodhaven, Carlson are going to be the top two teams there this year.
All right. So what else is going to be going on here on campus in terms of fall sports here at HFC? I know we've got volleyball, which should be active as a sport.
Volleyball is actually already going on. I don't have any updates on that, sadly, but they do play on Tuesday, September 11th at Madonna University in Livonia.
Mm-hmm.
And their next home game isn't until September 20th when they take on SC4.
St. Clair County Community College. There you go. We got all four C's in there. What about they golf in this fall as well, right? The Henry Ford.
Golf?
It's a club sport, I believe, here at HFC.
I'm actually pretty sure it's a varsity sport.
Oh, okay.
It is. And again...
They move around. They usually do move around.
They
usually golf on Mondays, I think, if I remember correctly.
There is no schedule posted for them on the website, which is a shame for people who wanted to go out and see the golf team. I mean, you have men's basketball and women's basketball just starting practice, and they'll be starting here in a few weeks.
So overall, what's the website for all HFCC or HFC athletics? Is it hfcc.edu/athletics?
No. It's actually athletics.hfcc.edu.
There you go. athletics.hfcc.edu. You can keep track of everything that the Hawks are doing in their chosen sports, and obviously we'll keep you updated there and with other activities that so many of our students are involved in here at Henry Ford College.
Yeah.
All right, it's the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. Very nice to be with you on this Friday afternoon. We will be back in just a moment.
What's good, WHFR loyal listeners? I'm your boy, Baby B, and I want you to come chill with me each and every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon with the House Party as I light up the airwaves and heat up your Tuesday mornings as I bring you the best in hip-hop and R&B. We turning up. We having fun. I'm burning the house down. It's gonna be dope. Tune in Tuesdays, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, the House Party, Baby B. B to the A to the B to the Y to the B. You know who I be.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
WHFR's annual record sale is Saturday, October 27th, and vendor tables are going fast. If you are a vendor and wish to participate, email us at whfr@hfcc.edu or give us a call at 313-317-6579 to reserve your spot now. WHFR's Record Show is a yearly event held right here in the Student Center of Henry Ford College, and one of those vendors could be you. Call now to reserve your spot for Saturday, October 27th.
And welcome back. It's the new WHFR Journal here on 89.3. Also online at WHFR.fm. Wow, Susan, it's been a few weeks, but what a great way to launch back into the new school year and another season of the new WHFR Journal.
Oh, yeah. So happy to be back. And, you know, Alan, I think it's not that we came back sort of in a soft way, because nothing soft about, you know, the topics that we've discussed, as well as our new president and lots of things going on campus. But it, you know, we've got this political election time around the corner. And so I feel it's almost like a little bit of a, you know, we're going to build up to that. And so in weeks to come, we do look forward to talking about local politics.
There will be a lot to discuss.
Yes, there will, as well as things going on here in our own campus community as we celebrate 80 years and get a little political ourselves, if
and
you
will. And I'm trying to think if we have students or people in the community who are not yet registered to vote. I think you can still register until October 4th for the November elections.
Somewhere along that way.
Just,
needless to say, you know, if you're listening to our show right now live, or you know, within a couple of weeks, if you're still in September, register to vote. Get out there. We need you.
Mm-hmm.
We do. Well, we do wish you a wonderful start to your weekend, and we look forward to touching base again very soon as we continue to present local news and views on this, the new WHFR Journal.
Well, there are a lot of things going on campus here. For those of us, you know, in the campus community, we've got the Welcome Back Days coming up, not next week, but the week after that, starting on the 17th. Well, you know, since he's still sitting in the studio, I want to talk to Josh Hebert, who was around when we had the tiny house thing that went on over the course of the summer. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I was able to go out and see what the architecture program and the interior design program was able to come up with for a tiny house that was going to be auctioned off to be donated. Actually a lot bigger than what the name Tiny House would lead you to believe there. I mean, you didn't really
how
feel...
How tiny is tiny?
I thought it would have been about the size of this room. It might be a little bit bigger. Maybe another inch or two larger than the room that we're sitting in right now.
Like basically like 12 by 12
yeah.
kind of thing, yeah. So, and this was a project that was done in collaboration with Henry Ford College and REMAX Realty, which was a house that was built to benefit the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, right?
Yeah. I mean, both departments here at the college who worked on it did a phenomenal job. House looked beautiful inside and out. I mean, if it's for somebody who's just getting into the homeowning part of it and going into a solo person, a single man or a single woman living in it, I mean, there's plenty of room for that in that house.
Excellent. Well, and the happy ending to that is that it ended up being auctioned off for more than $47,000, which benefits the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And congratulations to everybody at HFC that was able to make that happen. I know you were there on hand when they unveiled it, Josh.
Yeah. Just again, congrats to everybody else who made this happen.
Yeah, what an opportunity for our students as well to get that hands-on experience. We are looking forward to learning more about the sports scene as the weeks and months continue as well, Josh. So we appreciate your time with that event in the football vein right now. But there's other stuff going on, and we've already talked about a good amount of that, and we'll continue to do so. So thanks for your recommitment to our journal show with our local sports.
No problem. Thanks for having me again this year.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. That is another sort of a late summer, almost fall edition of the journal. I'm sorry I said it.
It's in that gray area.
The weather's easing and all that. But we thank you for continuing. Hope your summer was lovely. And please do stay with us. We've got more great stuff on the way right here on the new WHFR Journal. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Start your exciting career as a surgical technologist now. Henry Ford College has a 2-year program with a 98% employment rate. Job offers are up by 24% all over the United States. You'll graduate with an associate degree and hands-on surgical experience. Prepare for fall 2018 enrollment and call a health career advisor today at 313-317-6845.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Time.